This is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
Thanks for being with us today. We've got some basketball stuff to discuss. three different things. Officially, the Red Raiders, Jamie, have now signed Leon Horner III to an athletic scholarship agreement. No terms released of the deal, terms of years and money. I was just being facetious on that part.
Probably not inaccurate, though.
Yes.
Right?
No.
I would assume it's a one-year deal.
Right.
Okay, just like every other college basketball player, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because nobody's asking them to stick around for more than 1 year.
Right.
And we're not, and no college is telling guys, we got a spot for you here for more than 1 year.
Right.
Yes. So it's a 1 year deal.
I'm assuming he signed for the league minimum. Oh. He said this: the reason I chose Texas Tech was the visit and the fans and the coaches are so family oriented. The game was great. I just fell in love with the school when I first stepped out foot on the campus. The thing that stood out the most about Texas Tech to me was the student section. Loves how involved they are with sports at the school. My goals are to win a Big 12 championship and also win the national championship. My personal goal is to get freshman of the year. He's 6'6", 210. And I think he's a project, he's got to have some up and comers. And so he played last year at Dynamic Prep, and he attended Frisco Memorial. So at Dynamic Prep, he averaged 14.5 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists. And
they still give away a Freshman of the Year award?
They do, and a Newcomer of the Year award too. Okay, yeah.
They do.
So he becomes the fourth to sign. You have Elijah Hawkins, Federico, and I'm going to love that. Federico, and Kevin Overton as well. Those three plus Horner now are in the fold for the Red Raiders in addition to some of the newcomers. Now, here's an interesting development, Jamie, that's going on with Texas Tech basketball. This was reported yesterday, speculated by Pete Thamel. Red Raiders have an assistant coaching job open because Dave Smart left to take a head coaching job out of the country. And now the speculation is that Jeff Linder, who currently, Jamie, this is what's wild, is the head coach at Wyoming, that he would be coming to Lubbock as Coach Grant McCaslin's top assistant. Now, Linder has previously worked for Coach McCaslin when he was in Midland. He was an assistant for Coach McCaslin from 2004 to 2006, but that's 18 years ago. And since that point in time, he's been an assistant at Weber State, San Francisco, Boise State, the head coach at Northern Colorado, and the head coach at Wyoming since 2020. His head coaching record, 143-109. He was a point guard, so you know he's a smart guy. And at Wyoming, he's been there since, like I said, 2020. They won the CIT championship in 2018, his team did, when he was at Northern Colorado, and he was the Big Sky Coach of the Year in 2019. So it's interesting that he would go in and take an assistant coaching job as opposed to being the head coach. I'm sure that there's big reasons for that. But here's what's wild.
Look, can I ask you, what do you think those reasons are?
Well, probably he wants to be a guy that coaches at a Power Four, and probably would like to be a little bit more involved in big-time college basketball. My other guess is, Jamie, it will go back to NIL, and it probably is becoming harder and harder to win at a place like Wyoming, where they probably don't offer a whole lot of money to those kids that are coming into play there. And so his opportunities to make the NCAA tournament and probably fall off the face of the earth are probably pretty high. That'd be my guess.
Yeah. I mean, either way, if he's a good coach, he's a good coach, and we're glad to have him. Mm-hmm. What he's done at Wyoming over his career as a head coach is not just overwhelming.
It's not stellar. Nope.
Yeah, it's not overwhelming. So you wonder if he takes this move partly because of what you said, that, you know, you just can't compete anymore. It's harder to get to the tournament when you don't have the money to spend that these schools in the Power Four have. Or he sees the writing on the wall that he doesn't have a lot of job security there. Right?
Yes. I mean, he's only 63-59 at Wyoming, and he's barely above 500.
Yeah. So clearly there's a relationship there with Coach McCaslin, and mm-hmm. he thinks highly of him, all of the above. Maybe he's a terrific recruiter, and he feels like he'd be able to, Coach McCaslin feels like he'd be able to really help the Red Raiders recruit to Lubbock. And so, but then again, at the same time, well, if he's a great recruiter, you'd have thought they would have been better at Wyoming.
My guess, he's probably more the X and O guy. Just that he would be the guy that would be the teacher, and be the guy that could implement his offense and speak the language and what he wants to do defensively. That would be my guess. Would be those two would be lockstep in terms of their basketball philosophy. My overall guess is that McCaslin's your closer and recruiter, but I don't know. I'm just speculating.
I would believe that to be true.
But here's the thing that's kind of interesting. Just when at one point in time, Linder worked as an assistant at Emporia State. The head coach of that Emporia State team was a guy by the name of David Moe. David Moe's dad was Doug Moe, who played in the ABA, coached in the ABA, coached in the NBA. In fact, at one point in time, David Moe was an assistant coach at Texas Tech from 1988 to 1991. I'm not sure what his specific responsibilities were, if it was more of a grad assistant level or a... I don't think he was a full-fledged assistant under Gerald Myers, because he had Rob Evans and other people that were right directly underneath him. But I just thought that was kind of interesting, the whole world is round thing, that at one point in time he worked for David Moe, who worked here, and David Moe's dad, you know, was a big NBA, ABA guy back in the day for the Nuggets, and then Philadelphia 76ers at one point in time as well. But it's interesting how it all kind of world is round at some point in time, and maybe Jeff Linder finds his way to Lubbock and working for Coach Grant McCaslin again. That would fill that coaching spot.
Your daily dose of sports and fun. This is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Drive, time for this day in sports history. Today is May 10th, 2024. And with this day in sports history, here is Jeff McGuire.
I'm going to start in 1913 as the Yankees commit 8 errors. However, they still beat the Tigers 10-9 in 10 innings.
Hmm. Well, that's a win, right, Jamie?
That's right. It's a W.
It's called your offense picking up your defense and lack thereof. 1946, Red Sox win their 15th straight, beat the Yankees 5-4. Joe DiMaggio, however, hits a grand slam in the loss. 1967, if I were to say Hank Aaron, what's the first thing that pops in your mind?
Well, it's home runs, but it might be
714.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, might be RBI as well.
Of those 714 home runs, how many of them do you think were inside the park?
Oh man, I'm gonna say. Well, since you've said it this way, I'm gonna say one.
Jamie,
I'm gonna go a much higher number of 5.
Well, unfortunately, I set it up too well for Chuck, as he hits his only inside the park home run today versus the Phillies' Jim Bunning in Philadelphia.
Wow, Mr. Perfect Game Jim Bunning, the former congressman.
1981, Montreal Expos, Charlie Lee no-hits the San Francisco Giants 4-0. 1993, Chuck's best friend gets into the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame. What was it like seeing your best friend go in?
Okay, which one of my best friends?
Jamie?
Bill Walton.
Bill Walton, okay. Okay. I don't know about best friend, but I mean, friend.
This guy is a tiger in a trance in a state of circumstance, and I love all things Chuck.
I mean, I'm just saying.
I should have retired at that moment. I should have just walked away. That should have, I just dropped the mic, and that should have been it. Everybody would have been happier, right?
Not everybody.
No.
We would have missed Arkansas at that point.
Missed a lot of things.
Missed a lot of things. Yeah.
2002, Anaheim Angels crushed the Chicago White Sox 19-0. Mm. Woohoo! Angels joined the 1923 Indians, the 39 Yankees, and the 50 Red Sox as the only teams to beat two opponents by 19 or more runs in the same season. And in 2016, the number 5 Texas Tech Red Raiders broke up a tie game with an unearned run in the 8th inning, and then 4 more in the 9th in Tuesday night as the Red Raiders scored a 7-2 victory over Abilene Christian. The victory marked the second time this season where the Red Raiders used the final few innings to edge the Wildcats as Tech previously topped ACU 5-4 in a walk-off win on April 27th. It is National Shrimp Day.
Nice.
Happy birthday to Mr. Adios Muchacho, who's 46, Bono, 64, and Chris Berman is 69.
And when we say Adios Muchacho, we mean, of course, Jeff.
Mr. Adios Muchacho.
Jeff Haxton.
And on this day in 1869, the president of the Union Pacific and Central Pacific Railroads meet in Utah and drive a ceremonial last spike into the rail line that connects their railroads. This made transcontinental railroad travel possible for the first time in U.S. history. No longer, I say, would Western-bound travelers need to take the long and dangerous journey by wagon train, where you will be asked constantly on the Oregon Trail, what do you want on your tombstone?
Jamie, would you have liked to have lived in that era?
Yeah, I really would.
I thought,
can I have a redo?
Sure. I mean, you can go back in time.
I think I would fit better then than I do now. Kind of a social misfit like I am now. Mm-hmm. I think I fit in better then.
Maybe so.
There was a lack of baseball though. In
I was going to say, right. There wouldn't have been any baseball, right?
You had to invent the sport.
Okay. All right. Something for me to work on.
And then invent the Apple IIe game Oregon Trail so we could all play it. And that's today's this day in sports history.
All right, that little sounder means it's time for you to get a lucky local winning word from Double T 97.3 and the Home Zone, making your house a home. We've combined forces to give you some cashaline this spring. It's a local contest, not a national deal, so all the money is given away to local listeners. Like yesterday, Joel Cantu won $250 from us in the Home Zone. All you have to do is go to DoubleT973.com, enter the lucky local winning word, and you too could win $250 like Joel Cantu did on June the 20th. Put that on your calendar and head over to Two Docs. Somebody's going to win $2,500 that night from Double T 97.3 and the Home Zone. Your lucky local winning word this morning at 6:50 is Giants. Giants, G-I-A-N-T-S. Giants, like the New York football Giants. Just put in Giants. We'll have another word for you at 8:45 this morning, and then again this evening. And this would have been really, I should have asked for a ruling from the head man of the rules to do a flip-flop of the words for 4:45 and 6:45, because it would have been way more appropriate for us than for Tech Talk. But we will leave that be. But again, Giants is your lucky local winning word. Okay, 6:50.
He would have probably told you no.
Yeah, I know. I know. But it was he most certainly. I didn't even bother to ask, because I knew that the answer would be no. We don't need any more confusion with this program and that program than we already have. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's see. Bullfighter says this. I do need you to step it up, Chuck. I need more content for my list. Well, I mean, I try to get it in sporadically. But I'll try. I'll see if I can take some stupid pills for you and extra ones and see if I can add to the list. I took a lot of drugs this morning, so I did take.
No, it's not stupid stuff we're looking for. We don't go for that. It's fun stuff, Chuck.
Yeah, fun stuff. All right.
Because we say a lot of stupid things, and we just forget. We try to forget about all those. It's mm-hmm. the fun stuff.
Yeah, I'll try to see. I'll try to see if I can come up with some things here for you to be able to add to your list. All right, Yates Flooring Center chat line. Good morning, fellas. I get to watch my kid graduate from Texas Tech here in a few hours. Daddy gets a pay raise today. Congratulations, and congratulations to your offspring. He did not specify if it was male or female, but congratulations. And congratulations on your pay raise.
That's awesome.
Yep.
Congratulations to your kid.
Yep.
Well done.
Absolutely. I mean, there's a couple of graduations today. There's several tomorrow, and then it's off to that. Did you go through graduation at Texas Tech, Jamie? Did you walk?
Yes, I did.
Okay, good for you. Good for you. well, no, I'm glad you did. I'm glad. I love how they do it here when, you know, where everybody's in the arena and they announce your name and you get to shake the hand of the president of the university and get your picture taken. I think it's really cool. And mm-hmm. I hope they continue that. And I think as long as... go ahead.
I thought about you the other night, Chuck, with our 16-year-old. I can't remember which night of the week it is next week, but she's being inducted, honored into something. I'm not really sure. Something academic. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an evening thing next week. And she told her mother and I that that's when it was. And we're like, okay, I guess we need to go. And she's like, no, I'm not going. And we're like, why? And she's like, well, I have basketball practice that night, so I'm not leaving one basketball practice early and missing the other to go be inducted.
That was probably
she can still be in the event, in the thing. She just won't be introduced, and she's totally fine with that.
The Morning Drive podcast from Double T 97.3 is presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
I've good morning with Jamie Lint and Jeff McGuire. I'm Chuck Hines. We'll have high school baseball and softball on the air for you today. First, the softball, it comes first. It'll be Lubbock Cooper against Monterey, game two. Cooper Pirates winning the first game last night, and they'll play today at home. We'll have it for you on 93.1 Texas FM. Game three, if it's necessary, would start on or about 5:30 today. Also, we'll have Lubbock Cooper baseball. They take on Hanks in Fort Stockton. We'll have that for you at 5 o'clock on 100.7 The Score. Game 2 is tomorrow, and we'll have that at 11 on 100.7 The Score. Game 3, if it's necessary, it would follow, you know, after a brief break. We'll also have Friendship Baseball for you on the air today. It's tonight, actually, in Graham. They take on Keller, 7 o'clock first pitch on sunny 97.7. And game two is tomorrow at 2, and then game three to follow if necessary for the Friendship Tigers. So others are involved in high school playoffs this weekend. We'll get to some of those games a little bit later on. But those are the games that we're carrying today, in addition to the Red Raiders from Stillwater at 5:30, first pitch at 6 o'clock tonight, same time tomorrow, and then Sunday it's 2 o'clock. A first pitch and 1:30 broadcast time. Do you like the Saturday night affair, Jamie? Does that help them with attendance or weather, or is it just
I'm sure it helps them with attendance.
Yeah, gives people a chance.
Yeah, I would guess so.
Get something done, you know, in their yard or whatever. Do they have yards in Stillwater? I guess they do, don't they?
Yes, they have yards.
Okay.
I'm not sure what that meant.
I was just trying to be funny. It was a shot.
Yeah, no,
really what it was.
I'm sure it helps them with attendance. I mean, think mm-hmm. about people and kids and all the things you got going on Saturdays early or whatever, and that obviously usually shuts down at night or slows down, I should say, maybe at night. So you would think it increases attendance, and I like it that way. I'm a fan of football games either being early or late. Mm-hmm. I don't like them in the middle. Mm-hmm. And so, I'm fine with it. I don't care either way.
Do you think Coach Tadlock prefer the Saturday afternoon game versus the Saturday evening game?
I guess so. I guess so. That's why they're scheduled that way.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. Do you?
I remember there was a day back in the day when the Red Raiders, when he first started coaching the Red Raiders, he used to play a lot of Saturday night games at home, but that's obviously changed.
Okay. Do you anticipate any tweaks to the lineup or batting order or anything along those lines tonight or this weekend?
Yeah, the big question is Damian Bravo, is he back to play center field or not? I don't know that you have a lot of options, Chuck, just because of the injuries that you have. I don't know if Owen Washburn is available to reclaim that designated hitter spot. I would love for that to be the case, but I'm not really sure. And then the question with Bravo, and then does Will Burns take the spot of TJ Pompey at second base? I guess that's another question.
Yeah, and that leads me right into Coach Tim Tadlock and what he had to say about Pompey the other day. He was asked this: what do you tell a guy like TJ Pompey to keep his spirits up? Because when you look at Pompey and what he's done in Big 12 play, he's really struggled batting 165.
So, I mean, really to me with hitters, and this is whether a guy 10 for his last 10 or 0 for his last 10, it gets a lot simpler when you can base your success. Are you moving on the right pitch? And are you getting bat to ball? In other words, are you hitting it hard? Are you achieving what you want to achieve? And each guy's a little bit different as it comes, you know, as far as that goes. But to me, you know, it can be a pressureless process if you base your success on moving on the right pitch. The law of average in baseball is going to beat you up, right? I mean, it just is. It's hard. It's hard to get a hit every time. I don't think anybody's ever done it. And so, you know, 3 out of 10 get you in the Hall of Fame. And so there's been many a guys put themselves in a slump because the mental challenge that the game presents. A lot of times you might not be getting results and they start hunting results. And so simplest thing, just move on the right pitch.
Well, that's I guess that's a simple thing, but my guess would be that's a hard thing to do too, Jamie.
You know, in any sport you have stretches where you're playing with a lot of confidence and you have stretches where you're struggling with your confidence. And every athlete for the most part goes through it. The good ones keep those stretches shorter. And so clearly TJ is trying to roll through that. And it looks like he's, you know, I think you could probably say he's probably taking his offensive struggles out into the field with him. And that's where it starts to get bad and you need to, you know, to take a deep breath and step back and all those things. And so I think they are a coaching staff that has a lot of confidence and hope for TJ Pompey to be a great player in the future and all of those things. But they know right now he's definitely struggling with his confidence. And so they're doing everything they can to help him work through that. So you hate it for the young man, just like you hate it for a guy who all of a sudden who's a good free throw shooter and all of a sudden can't make free throws, mm-hmm. or is a good 3-point shooter and all of a sudden he can't make free throws or make threes. So whatever, you just got to work your way through it.
You know, it's funny. It's not this was not funny, but I stumbled across a Steve Sachs article, and of course, you know, he was famous for getting the yips when he was playing for the Dodgers, and he was struggling with it, and he had a conversation with his dad, and his dad said, you know, he goes, I had the same problem too, and I just kind of worked my way through it and got it out of my head, and basically his dad kind of coached him up, and years later he was talking to his mom about how his dad had this conversation with him about helping him get over the yips He said, you know, Mom, Dad said he had the same problem and kind of told me how he worked it out and got through it. And said, and all of a sudden it just kind of worked for me and it went out for me and everything worked out. And she said, son, your dad never had the yips. He was just telling him that because, like you said, there's so much of this of life and so much of baseball and a lot of sports where, you know, it's mental. You know, it's like Yogi Berra said, you know, 50%, 90% of this game is half mental. You know, that was a Yogi-ism, but there's a lot of truth in that, right?
Well, it's definitely a situation where you got to just find a way to, you know, have some good things start happening and then hopefully you get it turned around. And then all of a sudden you feel like you're on top of the world and you can't get out. Mm-hmm. And it's clearly the opposite for him right now.
Yeah. I mean, there's just some of those days where no matter what it is that you do, some days you can't do anything wrong. And then there's plenty of days where you can't do anything right, it seems like. And it seems like whatever you touch breaks or just goes in the wrong direction. So you get in those little slumps and you got to figure it out and fight your way out of it. And he's just not been able to do that. And like you said, it sounds like it's taken its place onto to the field as well. So we'll see. We'll see what happens this weekend with Pompey and the Red Raiders. One thing you can't afford to do, though, against Oklahoma State, and this is Captain Obvious stuff, is give them extra outs, whether it's not making the little play or committing an error in the field of play. And that's been the case too many times this year where you've allowed a team to have an extra out or two and they've taken advantage of it. So we'll see.
This is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Jamie's question of the day on Double T 97.3 is brought to you by Kinetico of West Texas.
All right, guys, we've talked a lot about the Red Raiders' seven-game home schedule for the 2024 football season.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe haven't talked about the road schedule nearly as much.
Mm-hmm.
Five games on the road this year. I want you to give me the record for the Red Raiders in their five road games this year.
Okay, so your road games are at Washington State, at Arizona, at TCU, and then back-to-back at Iowa State, and then at Oklahoma State.
Not back-to-back. Colorado's in the middle of those last two.
No, it's at TCU and then at Iowa State, and then you play Colorado.
Oh, okay. I thought you were saying Iowa State and Oklahoma State were back-to-back. Sorry.
That's okay. No. In Colorado, like you said, is sandwiched in between. So you have three of four games there, a stretch where you're on the road. To be honest with you, I really don't like how this schedule works. You know, you're stacked up again with three games in September. Four of your first five are at home. I think that's unfair. I'd like to see those a little bit more spread out. But
but you're going to play more home non-conference games at home, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, you're playing two of your three. It's just you have your home. Your home Big 12, four of your first five games are at home, and four of your seven games are right away. I mean, I just, you know, I'd like it a little bit more spread out so that you weren't three of four. That's not the question you asked, so I shouldn't get off the trail here. I think you're going to beat Washington State. I think you're going to beat TCU. I'm going to say 2-3. I think you're going to lose. I think you're going to lose to Arizona. I think you're going to lose to Iowa State. And I think you're going to lose to Oklahoma State. So 2-3 for me.
Wow, I can't believe I'm more positive than Chuck is. I've got you going 3-2 in your road games. If you were to ask me which are your two losses, I don't think, and I said this earlier when we talked about the season schedule, I don't see you winning all three of the games between Baylor, TCU, and Iowa State. You're going to lose one of those. I don't know which one. I would lean toward Iowa State because of how late in the year it is, and it's in Ames as opposed to TCU and Baylor. as opposed to the other one. I'm a lot nervous about Washington State being the second game of the season. If it was the third game of the season, I might feel better about it, believe it or not, just because you got that extra week to get the kinks worked out. But that's where I've got. And yes, that includes the win at the Cowboys in the second last week of the season.
Okay. I'm with Chuck. I'm 2-3. I have the same three losses at Arizona State, at Iowa State, at Oklahoma State. I think those are all three really tough games. I would not be shocked to see you win one of those three and flip it to 3-2.
Mm-hmm.
But I think those three are really tough. If I was going in order of difficulty for those three games, I think I would probably choose – I probably would go Iowa State, Arizona, Oklahoma State, but I'm not super confident in any of them.
You think Iowa State's going to be a harder game than Oklahoma State?
I just think it's, for whatever reason, we don't play well.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's fair. That's fair. And
so that says to me it's tough to play there.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I must be. Are either one of you guys bullish on Oklahoma State? Because, man, I sure am. I know Choice is not, but I'm sure. I mean, if I had to pick a Big 12 champion today, I think I'd pick Oklahoma State to be the Big 12 champion.
Yeah, I'm kind of done doubting Mike Gundy. I think they'll be good. I don't know that I'll pick them as the champ.
Mm-hmm.
I would probably lean towards Utah or even Kansas State instead.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Oklahoma State's a top 4 or 5 team in the conference.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that I would find a whole lot of argument with you on Utah or K-State because both of those – I mean, Utah's the – to me, Utah's is kind of the outlier just from the standpoint that I haven't paid hardly any attention to them, if any, over the past 10 years, other than noticing that they've been a pretty good football program. I mean,
they've been in the top 20 a lot, that's
yeah,
for certain.
No doubt. No doubt. And I just look at what all Oklahoma State has coming back offensively and defensively and go, how can you not look at that and go, they're going to be pretty good potentially. I mean, they got to stay healthy and all those things. And then I'm really,
yeah, their schedule will definitely be a lot tougher than it was last year.
Yeah.
We kind of have the Oklahoma State schedule of 2024 this year.
Mm-hmm. And then the game against Arizona on October the 5th, you know, maybe it's good to get them relatively early, although that's what, week 6 of the season for us. I mean, 2-4. It's game 6, so it's the middle of the year. So you would think by then they'd have their kinks worked out. You'd almost rather play them in September than Arizona State. Play Arizona State at home to begin the Big 12 portion of your season on September the 21st. So, yeah,
we just have to remember, Chuck. We've talked about this before. The Big 12 schedule makers do not sit down and say, okay, how can we make this most beneficial for Texas Tech? It's not what they do.
You know, they could once. It'd be okay. Okay. We'd allow it.
Okay. I don't know. I think there should be some rules in place. Like, you shouldn't play 2 Big 12 games at home before you play a Big 12 road game, something along those lines. And you shouldn't have to go you shouldn't have to finish with 3 of 4. Well, it's actually 3 of 5 on the road, with, you know, at TCU, at Iowa State, at Oklahoma State, and then the home game with Colorado, and then the home game with West Virginia the day Saturday after Thanksgiving. But hey, they didn't ask me. So 7:39 this morning on the Morning Drive. Boom, boom, boom is next. Your thoughts, your opinions, they're important to us. Do you have predictions for the weekend on the Texas Tech Red Raiders as they take on Oklahoma State, or if you have one on the high school games as well that you'd like to share?
The Morning Drive podcast from Double T 97.3 is presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Good morning with Jamie Lent and Jeff McGuire. I'm Chuck Hines. Great to have you with us today as we come to you from the First United Bank studio. Jamie's in Stillwater with Texas Tech Baseball. He'll be there throughout the weekend. And we'll have We'll have the game for you tonight at 5:30. First pitch just after 6 o'clock tonight. Same thing tomorrow, 5:30 and 6, and then Sunday afternoon. It's a 1:30 start time for the broadcast and 2 o'clock or so. First pitch as the Red Raiders take on a team that is tied for second in the Big 12. All right, I know it's been discussed a little bit. I've not brought it up yet, not only because it just seems like we've gotten busy and other things have kind of been pushed to the forefront. Nothing's really official yet, but I wanted to get your take on this, Jamie, and see what you thought the likelihood is going to be with this November 29th basketball game with Texas A&M. That is a Friday. It's the Friday after Thanksgiving, so it's the day before Texas Tech takes on West Virginia in the last home football game of the season. It was supposed to be a terrific sports weekend, and who knows? It still may be, but it sure sounds like the Aggies are going to be in Las Vegas instead of Lubbock, playing in a tournament that's being called the Players Era Festival, where teams will be paid $1 million towards their NIL collective to participate. And the winning team will earn another $1 million. I don't have the list of all the teams that are speculated to be in there. It's just one of them is Texas A&M. And the weekend that this thing is going to be played is Thanksgiving weekend, where the Aggies are supposed to be here in Lubbock. What's your take on this?
Just disappointed that it's not going to be the weekend that you hoped for here in Lubbock.
Do you think that they're going to try to move this to another? I mean, because the non-conference basketball schedule has not been released for Tech or for any of the Big 12 games. There's been some games that have come out that you're going to play because of, you know, you're going to play DePaul here and you're supposed to play A&M here, but do you think there's still the possibility or likelihood that it could be played? And if it is still played here in Lubbock, I mean, yeah, it's disappointing. It's not going to be that weekend, but it still would be a highlight game if you played them.
Yes, it would. And yes, it would. It would still be disappointing because you put it there for a reason, hoping to convince fans and to stay in Lubbock or come to Lubbock for Thanksgiving weekend for West Virginia. That was all part of what you were trying to accomplish. So yes, your fans would still be excited to see them come 2 weeks earlier or 2 weeks later, whatever. But at the same time, there's a reason that you put it there. So it's disappointing that it wouldn't be there.
Yeah. Last year, your non-conference schedule was anything to be desired. It was ranked in the RPI 339th in the country. It's hard to get worse than that. I mean, and let's face it, it was.
How many teams are playing college basketball?
I don't know, but
you know, but at the same time, when you have a new coaching staff, you understand that a little bit. You're trying to get everybody on the same page. You're trying to get things figured out.
Sure.
So there's some of that. There's some understanding with that going on. Again, and you played some decent teams when you went and played, you know, in your MIM multi-team events or whatever. Mm-hmm. But it's just you gotta have something for the home fans,
right? You know, in the Big 12 Big East Challenge, it's not going to be much. It's DePaul. You know, Ray Meyer and Joey Meyer are both dead, so they're not going to be coming out and coaching. Mark Aguirre is long gone, and this is not your grandparents' DePaul Blue Demon team. They were 3-29 and 0-20 in Big East play last year.
We were awfully excited to play at Georgetown because Patrick Ewing was coming, though.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. No, you're right.
So I thought we matched them up based on, you know, where they finished the previous year. Do we not? That's just completely blown out of proportion, that thought.
Yeah, I think so, because I think if you were to, yeah, I don't know where.
Because they clearly finished last in the Big East, right?
Yeah.
At 0-20. It'd be hard to be worse than that.
Right.
Okay. And we finished tied for third, and we're getting them?
We're getting them. Yeah, we're getting them.
I think that was the Big 12 SEC challenge that did that more than the Big 12, well, Big 10.
Thanks again, Brett. Great job. Way to fight for us. Appreciate it.
Right. I mean, you
might
know.
Go talk trash to the Longhorns again for us. Thanks.
Let's see. Who could he talk trash? TCU probably would be the team or. I don't know. But yeah, it's just I'm really bummed by this because and it's really disappointing that I guess it just goes to show you that, and who knows what the out is. Maybe the Aggies will have to pay us some money and things like that. But even still,
we don't care about that.
Nope, I don't. I want to play the game because it'll be sold out.
Even Texas Tech doesn't care about that.
I don't think. I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, they'll want their money, don't get me wrong, but they would much rather have the Aggies here on that day.
Yeah, absolutely. Somebody says this, if the Aggies cancel, push the game back to a year where that we have another Thanksgiving football game, the ball should be in Tech court for when the game is played.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair.
Yeah.
I think that's fair. I think that makes sense rather than move it a week prior or a week past that point.
Here's what I hope doesn't happen, because I think there's a spot left in this tournament. What I hope doesn't happen is that they say, oh, hey, Vegas, Texas Tech, you want to play A&M there? And we'll add a year to the contract, so we'll have a neutral site game. Then we'll have you play them in Lubbock, then you play them in College Station. That doesn't make me feel any better.
I guess I don't hate that. It's better.
It's better.
You're guaranteed three good matchups with a team that you're passionate about.
Yeah. But just it's like I said, it's really disappointing that that this would take place. It almost makes you think that A&M was looking for an opportunity to not play upon further review.
How? How does it appear that way?
It just makes me feel that way. Makes me feel like they're.
That's a total stretch. They just know the money is there for them to go.
I mean, truth be told, and truth be told, would we do the same thing? Probably, maybe. Although I don't know, we wouldn't give up a home game like that. I don't think.
If the Aggies were trying to avoid us, they wouldn't have signed the contract in the first place.
Yeah.
This has been the Morning Drive Podcast, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Check out our library of Double T 97.3 podcasts at DoubleT 97.3.com.